Hey gang, are you in a band in Austin? You're looking for a place to rehearse? Let me tell you about Space Rehearsal and Recording. A uniquely Austin experience preserving its musical heritage and inspiring future artists, Space is an affordable venue for rehearsal and recording situated just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. 31 spacious rooms, wide gallery lit corridors, excellent parking, they have the space to take care of your creative endeavors. Join their customers that range from local and international musician, acting troops, yoga practitioners, and many, many more. 512-448-9518 or spaceatx.com. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. I have Little Brave. Stephanie Macias is in the house for the second time. She just released an album, a gorgeous double album that came out in April. It's called Mythology. And I urge you not to get the album, but to physically get the album because it's an artistic endeavor both musically and physically. Or visually, sorry, physically? Yeah, physically it is artistic, man. It's beautiful. It comes with a book. It's a double CD, and it comes in a DVD case that is gorgeous. Art that Stephanie did. Stephanie is an amazing artist, an amazing photographer, a multi-instrumentalist musician, great songwriter, amazing singer. She's such a great photographer that I asked her to do photos of me, and we're going to do those next week. So I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about her album, and I suggest that you go to littlebravemusic.com and pick up this album in its physical form so that you can see it in all of its beauty and listen to it in all of its beauty at the same time, okay? Great endeavor, great conversation with Little Brave, second time she's been on the show, but before we get to that, I want to talk to you about a new bottled water company called Texas Music Water. It's out there all around Texas, and they're branching out into Tennessee with a new company called American Music Water. And this water benefits different music organizations like HAM, SIMS, different school organizations, helping veterans get instruments. Let's talk to Dean Wolf, the guy from Texas Music Water, which is now officially the bottled water of How Did I Get Here. That's what guests get when they get here, all right? Let's talk to Dean Wolf from Texas Music Water and find out what's going on real quick. Dean Wolf with Texas Music Water. You doing good?
I'm doing great.
Good, man. So Texas Music Water is a bottled water that when you buy it, you are benefiting many different music foundations and nonprofits, such as HAM, the Health Alliance for Austin Musicians, SIMS, which is the where you go and get your psychological help, and they help you out with that, Anthropos, right?
Anthropos Arts.
And Warrior Cry Music Project, as well as many school music programs. So you're out there and you're expanding all the way to Tennessee with American Music Water.
Sure. And we plan on adding more markets too. We're going to open up several other music hub markets. And then when a national chain picks us up, then we're nationwide, whether we like it or not. But Tennessee was a natural choice. The people are really friendly, the rich music history. So it was just kind of, we thought it was a great place to get traction for American Music Water.
Yeah, so you would say that in a case of water, 25 cents, was that what I read?
Yes, we give back 25 cents. Every four cases is a dollar.
Okay.
And, you know, our plan is to sell millions and millions of cases. So yeah. That really, really adds up. And, it's not just a marketing plan. It's our core philosophy.
Yeah.
It's what we believe in. We're going to continue to do it. We've always done it. And so it really leads to helping a lot of people.
Yeah. So people, when they're going to go buy a bottle of water, they can either buy a bottle of water. It's going to be the same price. Why not buy a bottle of water or a case of water for your summer party, for your barbecue outside? And show your support for Texas music or even American music if you're listening to this in Tennessee.
Yes, I mean, you have a choice when it comes to bottled water, and this is like the coolest water ever for the music community. It's just awesome.
Because I mean, it totally is.
Everybody's so passionate about their music, and now they have what an easy way to make a donation to a musician that needs some help or a music student just by drinking water.
Right, and it's something that we all take on stage with us, a bottle of water, and that's a chance for us to show. And there's a lot of venues now that are supporting it, including the ACL Live Moody Theater and the Austin Convention Center and Visitors Bureau. That's pretty awesome.
Yes, we're so happy to see the city of Austin get behind us, and you know, and it's just we feel really blessed to have those venues. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, there are also several other venues like Lambert's and the Mohawk. You can find it at All Specs in Texas. You can find it at a lot of HEBs. If they don't have it at your HEB, definitely ask for it. And I mean, yeah, because this is an important thing. It's helping out the local people.
It really is. It changes lives. It even saves lives with Sims and Ham. You know, like Ham, for example, they have I think the musicians that are with Ham, they're supposed to get a physical once a year. So it's a lot of preventative. You know, when they catch something early, it saves a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And then with Sims, you know, they have that support. They can call in if they're having a problem in their relationship or just any type of mental thing they're going through. They can call in and somebody's there to help them. So it's really huge for our musicians, those organizations.
And, of course, the Warrior Cry Music Project, which is based out of San Antonio but is a national organization, they give lessons. And do they give instruments, did you say, as well?
They do.
Wounded veterans.
They do. They'll give instruments to them. They'll help them with music therapy, music lessons. And we can donate to them with Texas Music Water and American Music Water because they're national.
Right. So that's good. So in the ones that are national, you'll be benefiting more national organizations. For instance, like American Music Water doesn't necessarily benefit Ham as much as Texas Music Water would.
Right.
Okay.
We'll go with different organizations that help musicians with American Music Water. And, you know, there's schools everywhere. So music education is going to be a big, big focus for American Music Water.
Yeah, we got to keep that alive. It seems like a lot of people are learning music again and learning instruments, which is important. You know, and keeping that message out there, you know, that's a viable way to make a living, even though it is hard. You're out there helping musicians.
Yeah, it's just, you know, music's such a beautiful thing, and I think the people that play music, it makes them special, and we all enjoy the music, and it just, what would life be without music, you know? I think it's always weird. I think it's something that we actually need to live. We need water.
Yeah.
We need
music.
We need food, and we need music.
Yeah.
It's just part of our DNA.
Are you a musician?
No, I'm not.
Serious fan?
I've always loved music, very passionate about music.
I actually
tried to play.
Yeah.
But my fingers just wouldn't do it.
Well, you know what? Musicians need people like you out there that are able to help us get through difficult times and also keep us hydrated.
You bet.
Because it's going to be a hot summer. And once again, if you want to find a location, if you don't have a Specs near you or you don't know where there is a Specs near you, you want to find an HEB that carries it, you can go to texasmusicwater.com and americanmusicwater.com and find there's a locator on there. And as well, if any retailers are listening, any people that own clubs or a venue or something like that, and they want to serve Texas Music Water or American Music Water in their venue, they can simply write to
sales@texasmusicwater.com
or sales@americanmusicwater.com.
You've got it now.
Yeah, I think I do have it. Is there anything that I'm missing?
Just that we think that, you know, bottled water is a really healthy alternative.
Yeah.
To sodas, and the country's had a problem recently through recent years with our youth becoming obese, I think because of a lot of sodas. So we've seen a trend in the last, I believe in the last year or so, for the first time their weight levels have actually went down because of the popularity of bottled water.
Yeah, and they serve, I've noticed over the last few years, like when I go to the movies, there's bottled water, which was water wasn't even offered. Like when you asked for water at a movie before, they looked at you like you were completely insane. How can you not have 44 ounces of sugar syrup?
Yeah. It's a healthy alternative. Yeah. You know, I have a couple sodas a year. I'm not going to say I don't drink any soda, but I don't drink a whole lot of them, probably more than a couple, but I certainly drink a lot more water.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Dean. For the last 5 years, you've been able to get this water out there, and now you're breaking out nationally with American Music Water. Those of you in Tennessee and Nashville that listen to the show, find out, demand it at your locals. I don't know what grocery stores they have up there, but demand it at your local grocery store, whatever it is.
There you go.
Yeah.
we'll be spreading that message as well.
Yeah, definitely. And also Arlen Studios. A recording studio.
They're good friends of ours. They help us get the word out about Texas Music Water here in Austin. And you'll find Texas Music Water there a lot of times, hydrating all the musicians and bands.
Pretty famous guys in there.
Yeah. They're great. And we're also at Lambert's. One of the owners of Arlen owns Lambert's Barbecue here in Austin, and he only sells Texas Music Water. So
fantastic. Well, ask for it. If you are in Texas, if you don't see it where you are, ask for it. Tell them to carry it, because they're going to be carrying bottled water anyway. Why not help out our community?
You hydrate, we donate.
That's right. That's a great slogan. Thanks, Dean.
You're welcome. Thank you. Come tomorrow. Let's all do it again.
Boys will be boys. Better let them have the talk. Texas Music Water, the official water of How Did I Get Here, the official bottled water. That's what I give my guests when they come here. They do have it at the HEB down the street from me, and so I do pick it up. So thank you so much, Dean, for coming on the show. You guys get out there and pick up this Texas Music Water. You're going to drink water anyway. Why not help out the community? All right. Speaking of the community, let's talk to Little Brave about her gorgeous new album, Mythology, and what she's been doing for the last couple years since the last time she was on How Did I Get Here, okay? I'm serious about this album. Get out there and get the physical copy at littlebravemusic.com, and let's sit down and have a conversation with Stephanie Macias, also known as Little Brave. Let's get down.
You know my heart is the darkest cave in the world. So the deepest mountain would have to hold this girl, and they will eat the light that comes inside, 'cause in the dark there's
not your thing or?
Everywhere to
no
hide.
They're totally not
okay
thing. I'm one of those people that gets like went to Jamba Juice for years thinking I was drinking something healthy. And then like it's a whole grain artificially blueberry flavored Eggo. Yeah. And in some way I'm getting whole grain, like that's really making a huge difference in my life.
Yeah. I think they figured out how to sell you on that stuff.
Yeah.
When you're trying to do good by your grocery store purchases,
but right.
You know.
Do you follow a healthy regimen of eating food?
I try. One of the things I really try to do is to eat only nothing packaged.
Okay, so not Eggos.
So not Eggos, yeah. But that doesn't always work.
But you would make your own waffles.
Yes, I can make my own waffles.
So do you cook? Are you a cooking? You seem like
not,
you can cook.
No.
Really?
I mean, I can some things, but...
So what do you do? Like, how do you...
I live with my boyfriend right now, and he is a chef.
Oh.
I lucked out.
Well, that makes it super easy.
I lucked out, really. No, honestly, when I was living alone, sorry, that was distracting. My refrigerator looks like a bachelor's refrigerator. It looks pretty bad.
Yeah. You know, I always just buy a roasted chicken and then like work around it.
Yeah.
So literally, I eat so much chicken. It's probably
something that I would do.
If they find out that chicken's really bad for you someday, I'm going to die of chicken.
Well, I think you're okay. What I'd like to do now these days when my boyfriend is working all the time and not cooking anything, which is most of the time.
But when he's working, that's
what he does.
He misspoke.
Yes.
Yeah, he's actually well, he is cooking.
Okay, not for me. Not for me. When he is, this is the most terrible thing to do. But this is what I do. I buy huge tub of hummus.
Okay, I do that as well.
And I'll buy like some vegetables and stuff to do it with. Okay. But then I'll buy a bag of pita chips, and I will just go to town.
Yeah.
On hummus.
I always have a thing of hummus in my fridge.
I have to.
Yeah.
But it's so dangerous.
Is that bad for you?
I don't think so, but it's just so dangerous because I'll be like, well, I ate hummus for dinner last night. I'll just eat some for, and it's kind of lunch right now, so I'll eat some right now. Yeah. And then the next meal will roll around. I'll be like, I'll just have some more hummus. It's like, till I finish the whole thing. I have no like self-control and be like, okay, I'm going to make this and I can't do that.
Right.
If it's in the fridge, it's gone.
It's gone. Well, that's how it works. Hey, so how do you say this differently? Mythology.
I just say mythology. Okay. Yeah, but I just wanted to separate them, so I'd had.
Why? So that you could separate the discs?
So that there were two different kinds of things. Also, on the first disc, which is more the one woman band material, a lot of those songs are almost myth-esque.
Okay.
Like dealing with like the first song is called Lupa and it's about a she-wolf, like things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so that seemed appropriate. And ology is, you know, like the study of. And so I thought of those songs as like these acoustic songs as more like me kind of. I wrote all those songs at a time when I was just writing like every day, writing songs and just trying to figure out like which, you know, not necessarily a formula, but you know, where my style was going, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you recorded this. Did you record like the first disc at home? When you say at home, that's not a studio called home, right?
No. Okay. No. I recorded.
I'm so stupid.
No, that's a totally possible thing.
Okay.
I recorded with Pat Mansky.
Okay.
And we were just kind of discussing ways to keep the cost down. And he actually suggested, he's like, why don't I just bring over some preamps and a couple things and we'll just record there.
Because you do a lot of home recording.
I do a lot of, like all my demos that I did for this are all, at home and,
Well, do you do anything with those? Are you going to, is there going to be a box set or is it going to be like Mythology 2, like the expanded edition, the 4-disc set?
Not that I am planning on.
Okay.
But, after doing that at home and kind of doing some of those demos, I really would like to do more of that.
Yeah.
I don't know where that would lead or what it would look like, but I never really do anyway at the beginning, right? So
right.
I think I'll chase that a little bit for sure.
Well, this album is incredible.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
I've listened to it a few times since you sent it to me a couple of weeks ago. This packaging is gorgeous.
Thank you.
And really over the top. Like you really... you're an amazing artist and you did a great job with the layout and it looks different than anything else. That's the hardest thing to do.
It really is
to do something different.
I know.
And it seems like you really, are you like in your own world? Do you pay attention to a lot of what's happening around you?
No.
Or do you literally, because it seems like
you're
doing so much shit that it doesn't seem like you have time to really go.
I don't. I'm terrible
absorb
at that.
Other stuff.
I'm really terrible at that. I like to think that I am a sponge when it comes to, trying to fill the well, you know, like trying to go out and be inspired by things. And
What are the things that inspire you when you go out to find things that inspire
you?
Obviously it's got to be visual because you're an artist.
Well, I always go to a bookstore first thing.
Okay.
Bookstore. Always. First thing. Visually, I follow on Instagram. I follow a lot of painters.
Yeah.
I have a couple of favorite painters that I kind of like check in, you know, and check their stuff and look at their websites and things like that. I don't know. A bookstore always just encompasses everything with visual anyway, because I go down and I'll look at the magazines and stuff like that and look at the new art and stuff like that. But, music has been really hard for me the last few years.
Like maybe music I'm just trying to get it out or trying to make it happen?
No, no, in a way, okay, I'm trying to love it like I used to, you know? I don't know if it's just from doing it so much, you know, and it becoming a job and it becoming a way of, you know, living and this is how you make your living and this is, you know, I don't know. I I have a hard time listening to new music if I don't know the band, and it has to really hit me. You know what I mean? It can't just like, oh, that's kind of cool, or it's not my thing, but you know, whatever, it's cool. The older I get, the less time feel like I have to spend on that. You know?
Well, I think that happens. And that's why people always feel like the music that came out from between the time they were 8 and the time they were 20 is the greatest music ever made.
Of course.
Like, they don't make music that good anymore. Well, actually, you're just not as involved anymore.
Thank you.
It doesn't mean as much to you anymore because you have other things. You've got a boyfriend who's a chef, and you know, you don't know where your next meal is coming from.
My next meal is going to be hummus.
Yeah. I totally understand that.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But do you use the other mediums though to balance your inspiration? Like,
I think
you keep a room with a easel?
Yeah, it's
again,
called
the
an easel.
Stupidest guy in the world.
No,
an easel, and you paint, and you like. I had a friend that told me that's how he did his thing, and I was doing that for a while.
That makes sense. I mean that would make sense.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
You got to make some money off of your, because you're doing art for other people. I saw some posters that you did for other people, photos that you do for other people.
Yeah.
But your main income comes from music.
Right now, no.
Okay.
Right now, I've got a part-time job, and
it's always like when you put out an album. No, it's not. No,
absolutely. I actually did this little chart. I'm doing this like creative coaching thing anyway. So I did this chart, and it was like projects, and you know, it's like. It's got these categories like income and how much this will grow your audience, and how, you know, like, is this good for your relationships? Is this healthy for you? What kind of impact will this have? Anyway, so you list what you grade it 1 to 10 for each of those categories. And I wrote, recording a new album, income 0. And I was like, God dang it. Like, that's just, I love it so much, and it's just, I don't know. Who knows?
It's difficult. I had a friend also one time who told me to, I was complaining about having to play gigs. It just really sucked because I needed the money. And he was like, just go get a job and then just play gigs you want to play.
Yeah.
That freaked me out. I mean, I did it.
Yeah.
And I spent a year like painting houses with this dude. It was great advice.
Yeah. I did, yeah. And that's kind of what I've been doing the last couple of years. I haven't had the best jobs, but this one I have right now is actually one that I'm pretty grateful for. I work at a place that I'm an instructor, a painting instructor.
Oh, that's great.
And it's these places where these people come and they bring like wine, and you teach them to paint a little cheesy painting.
I know a lady that does that.
Yeah.
Up in Round Rock.
Yeah.
Is that where you do it?
No, I do it in Cedar Park.
Okay.
Me and Allie, actually, both of us.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah. Allie was telling me about that.
Yeah.
She was just here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me more about this album. Like, what pushed you? Let's just start with the packaging, because this is incredibly unique packaging, which you're such a creative person. You're a really unique performer, and you make really unique music, and it really... I wish the best for you.
Thank you.
And when I see someone go out of their way and do something that I know, because they have a vision, and they want to see it through no matter what, I know that packaging, just outside of the regular jewel case or what Allie
wallet.
Has there, the wallet, like something like this, and with a book and everything, that's just beautiful and full colors and.
Yeah.
Beautiful typesetting. It doesn't look like any corners were cut.
Yeah. And that is that,
you know, don't you look at stuff like that, like as a musician, like you see people's stuff and you're like, God, that font looks so cheap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this all looks really expensive, and it comes in a bag.
Yeah. My dad actually prints t-shirts. And so I ordered these bags, and I said, hey, Dad, you want to help me? Want to help me out? So I took the bags down there to his place, and we just knocked them out in a couple hours. So, yeah.
So what, did you have the painting before you had the packaging?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I kind of had an idea of how I wanted, the size I wanted the packaging. I knew I wanted that kind of DVD look. I also do, me and Allie do a lot of tarot.
Yeah.
And so I kind of had this idea, like I wanted it to be almost like a tarot card.
Yeah.
You can actually kind of, you can kind of flip it upside down and like the octopus is up top.
Oh, there. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, almost
oh,
like
and
a,
the arrows. Yeah. Okay.
So that was kind of my general idea or general starting point, okay. I guess. I wanted that kind of card size almost. So the painting is actually 30 by 40. So it's a good, big old guy.
Huge.
Yeah.
How do you do something like, do you photograph it and then you
Okay. Yeah, I photographed it and then I tried to make sure the colors were correct. And
I mean, it just looks so good. And
thank
it
you.
Sounds
good.
So good. And it's so you're a very unique and original artist. And
thank
I
you.
Mean that in a great way. It's not like I'm trying to not say you suck or something. You know what I mean? Because you're
she's
also
special.
Really great. Yeah. Oh, you really do a lot.
Well, that
you've made a lot of albums.
Yeah, I have actually. It was funny to think that that's like the fifth time, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And you knew you were making the two when you went in to make it, or you knew
yeah,
you were going to split it.
Well, I had originally. Now, here's the thing: I did a Kickstarter around the last time we were talking.
Right.
It did not go through.
Okay.
So
I'm sorry, that sucks.
It happens. So. I had already kind of recorded it, the first one.
Okay.
So I was missing like one or two songs and we had to mix and we had to do all this stuff. But it kind of got, after that, it kind of got thrown on the back burner. And I actually considered not doing music at all anymore for a good couple months. You know,
I've been there. I'm sorry. I don't mean
no,
to
it's okay.
I laugh out of
solidarity.
Went to the
bar a lot, you know. Just like
that happened to McCartney after the Beatles. He was drunk all the time. He didn't want to do stuff. He was like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
It sucks. I worked really hard and now I feel like I'm at zero again.
Yeah. It's tough.
I think that's the nature of the thing though. And I think really, it's so sad to say that to somebody, but
no.
I think the nature of like entertainment business is like you just get kicked around, man.
Yeah,
and if you can make it through getting kicked around, maybe you'll end up like Alejandro.
Right.
You know, 65 years old and totally happening.
Right.
All of a sudden.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think about that. And, you know, with women, everybody's like, well, you know, look at Patty Griffin and look at Lucinda Williams. And, you know, like, and I get that. But we're talking about two people out of how many people?
Yeah.
No. Like, is everyone looking at Patty Griffin and Lucinda Williams and going, there, you know, which is not to say like we shouldn't have hope or we shouldn't have, you know, plans and stuff like that. And that's great. But I don't know. After a while, I kind of came to it and said, I'm just going to do what I want to do.
And that's what the feeling of this album.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. But,
no.
But that I wanted to say that if you let go of all this stuff and expecting this and that, then you're just making the art that you want to make no matter like who cares.
Exactly.
If nobody buys this, at least I made this beautiful album. And I really did something that I wanted to look at and be like, I made this.
Exactly. That's exactly
And congratulations, because you did.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'll tell people to buy this album.
Thank you.
Yeah. No Spotify on this. Let's go all the way.
Yeah.
Everyone.
I've had a couple people saying, no, I need the, you know, I need the package.
Yeah. This is worth it. There's not a lot of albums. And for those of you old school people out there, if you're wondering, it's bigger than a CD case. I believe you can
it's
roll
a
joint on it. So
there you go. Please buy my album. You can roll a joint on it.
Yeah. I saw a t-shirt the other day that said, can't roll a joint on a digital download.
So true. I'm not really a digital buyer. I like to have physical copies. Somebody said this when they were looking at it, they said, this reminds me of when you used to put on a record, put on a CD or whatever, but you had the package and you had the lyrics and you could read along as you listened to the songs. And I thought, oh, I remember doing that. I loved doing that. Like, you're just there.
Yeah.
I don't let myself do that anymore. That's so shame.
Well, how
on
do you
me.
Do it?
Shame
I don't even
me.
Know what albums look like half the time.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless they sit on my desk for a month and a half, then I memorize them.
Memorize.
Yeah. I walk through Waterloo. I'm like, I have that album. It's tough because it's hard to listen to stuff on those mediums anymore because, you know, I listen to a lot of music when I'm exercising now. Well, that I can do on my phone or my iPod. Yes.
Yeah. That's the hardest thing. I have a record player, so a lot of times I'll try to buy, if I really like something, I'll try to buy it on vinyl.
And me too.
Let it be one of my, I'm really into the new Punch Brothers, so I'd really like to buy that on vinyl. But, I don't know. Music.
What is getting you, though? Because it seems like you also run the gamut where you use a lot of electronic instruments, but you don't use them like in an EDM sensibility.
No.
You use them in like an organic. It's weird because it's like weird drum machine and like a synthesizer thing, but it still has this organic feel to it. How do you do that?
Well, so with the drums, I do trigger my drums even live, and I triggered them on there.
I've seen you play with like a drum thing.
Uh-huh. Okay, I trigger them, but I play them. Like I don't start a drum machine or I don't pre-record a drum track or anything like that. And so when we went to record him, he both mic'd it and we used the trigger. So sometimes we use more of the mic and sometimes we use more of the trigger. So I've also always wanted to record an album where I just play everything. And I actually got to do that. And I'm just
That's a great feeling.
Like a long time coming, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think it could have been done before this, you know. So I think it was at the right place, the right
time. Well, you've spent a couple of years. It's been a couple of years since you've been in here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You spent all that time pretty much
playing like this,
and touring and doing the one woman show, and then also with a band. What's your band like when you play with a band?
Oh man, I've only really just started doing that.
So is that hard because now all of a sudden like someone else is going to be doing this thing? Are you getting people because you like what they do and letting them do their thing on your songs? Or are you okay? You're not like sitting behind the drums and going like, "Do this, dude."
No, I wouldn't want to have a band if I had to do that.
Right, but it can be hard when you do go in and you make I have made a record like that and then gone out and like had to show it to a band and been like, There's a different feel when it's not a professional drummer behind the drums and trying to recapture, like to bring that guy into your drumming world, but be good.
Yeah.
It's hard because they're like, dude, I'm.
I went through that a lot when I had when I did the last EP that was like a little 4-song EP. It was super like kind of alt rock. And when I would have to find someone to fill in for my drummer if he couldn't make it, or even the bass player, it felt like that.
Right.
I was like, okay, look.
The record.
Listen on this part, this specifically, this has to happen in the song, you know, that way. But because when I do play now with my new band, I have a new band, I usually try to go to John Green.
Yeah, that's a good guy to go to. I've always wanted to play with him.
Yes, he's incredible.
And when you were talking about becoming a lady and getting older, that guy somehow has this Benjamin Buttons thing going on.
Yeah.
Where somehow he's getting younger.
Yeah. He's...
What happened to that?
I don't know.
Sheila keeps him young.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Sorry, I interrupted
no,
you.
No, they both are just like just some of the most amazing people here in town. And I'm lucky enough for, you know, him to offer to play with me. And so I'm using... I had him at when I played Threadgills recently, opening for Matt, the electrician. Mm-hmm. I had him play, and then I had my old friend Daniel, who plays with Allie, Daniel Thomas Phipps. He's a songwriter as well. And I had him play bass.
Wait, that's your boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Had him play the bass and sing a little. And I've got another kind of bandish gig coming up with Tom Pearson on the bass, who's also Matt, the electrician's bass player.
Okay.
Yeah, just, you know, stealing his band left and right.
Well, sometimes that's the only way you can do it.
I just feel like when you find people that, number one, like your music.
Yeah.
Number two, are just so good. Number three, are happy to be there. That's like you just can't beat that.
Yeah, I've had that talk with a lot of people where I would take a musician that wasn't a virtuoso, that was super cool to hang out with. rather than a virtuoso that wasn't.
Yep. Yeah. I traveled with a few people that way, and that's kind of what ended up, that's why I ended up being solo, you know, doing my solo thing for so long.
But also the good thing about that is that enabled you to get out there and do it without having to pay a band and stuff like that. Like you really.
It did.
It's lonely, I bet.
It.
Did you do duo tours with Brandy Zidane?
We've done some shows. I don't think we've done any tours.
Okay.
We did a couple shows and stuff like that. And I would play drums for her the way I have my drums set up for my thing. But we almost did a couple tours, but just with hers and mine, my stuff and her stuff together, it just
didn't even fit in the car.
Well, no. Oh, not literally stuff, but like my dates and her dates and my schedule and her schedule. I wasn't going to be someone that she could rely on.
Right.
And she needs that for sure.
Right. Especially did she move back here? Or
no, she's still in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recorded drums on that record and sang and played some keys. And so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you hire yourself out as a sideman at all?
Not really.
Sidewoman.
I don't try.
No.
It happens sometimes.
Sometimes.
People ask and I say, sure. I play bass for a long time, so that happens every once in a while.
Somebody
asks me to play bass. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh.
I mean.
We should play.
Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah. I have a band of women.
Do you really?
And they're hard to get together.
Yeah.
I need some backups.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah, I need some.
Just call me.
Just fired him on my show. Just kidding, guys, ladies. Just joking. All right, so let's talk about you went to Folk Alliance.
I did.
How was that? Was that your first time?
Yes, and I fully expected to be jaded and hate it, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
It seems like such a nerd. So much fun.
It was a blast. I do think, because I got to room with Allie and Daniel and Brandy, that was part of why I loved it. I'm just there with like my best friends, you know,
24/7.
And it was just, we just kind of play our shows and then do whatever we wanted. You know, it was just, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I hated leaving. It was so much fun.
And you got invited?
Yes.
Yeah. That's pretty great.
That was amazing to me after years of being not invited by South By and applying. And like, this was like,
but you gotta know that that's not,
I know.
I mean, does that stuff ever get you down? Cause that's, I mean, I
it
know
does.
That
oh,
at
it
times,
totally
there have
does.
Been times in my life when that has gotten me down.
It does. I was telling someone recently that I go through, it's like hills and valleys. I'll be up and nothing will really bother me. And I'm just doing my thing.
Yeah.
And I don't care. And then I'll go through a valley and I'm like,
and
I hate
everything.
It. I
yeah,
hate
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I hate everything. I feel slighted by the tiniest thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, get my feelings hurt by the tiniest thing. I don't know. And then
you
I
get your
like,
feelings hurt because somebody's playing a gig.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's happened to me many times.
I think everybody
does. You feel like
does
someone's
that.
Success is like literally a plot against you.
Yes, yes. I think me and Allie were just talking about that the other day. I was like, man, everybody feels that way. Like, and it's kind of comforting when you know that. You know?
Right. But you have some pretty, I know that these are things that you don't think
when
you're in the hole.
Yeah.
when you're in the hole, you don't think that Lori Gallardo is like a huge fan of yours. And she's got
she's
a lot to say about what's happening with music around here. I know a lot of people that are big fans of yours. I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know what that means, but.
Thank you. No, that all, that means a lot. I mean, for a long time, I felt like, before I came to Austin, I felt like I didn't have the respect of my peers or the respect of people that I respected. And maybe that's
because that's weird because you have that one thing that I think in all groups of musicians and all little tribes, if you can play, like you can hang out and you're not, you know, you're a nice person.
Yeah.
You're not a jerk. So, I mean, usually if you can play, people will let, and you, you have above average.
Thank you.
I mean, I've never heard you like wail it. So,
not really a wailer per se,
a shredder
per se. These are all great, great adjectives to describe me. But I do feel like I can feel where the music is going and where it is, and really like put in, you know, what belongs there, as opposed to playing my ass off.
Yeah. You're not a hack.
I don't think I'm a hack. No.
No. By any means. How did they like you at the Folk Alliance?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah?
It was really great. It was nice because I felt like, because I've done so many different things in my career, quote unquote career, I've done, you know, like I told you, the last thing was super like alt rock and right. like, and I felt like my writing didn't really pick up till a few years ago. So I don't think anyone thought of me as a writer, a songwriter, just a quirky, you know,
right.
music player.
There were so many things going on right. that maybe they weren't focusing right. on the so fact that you were writing great songs.
It was really great to go and be like, I've really spent some time on these songs and I want, you know, showing you these songs and to have people say, oh, these songs are so good, you know, and it kind of to be a, you can tell when people are surprised to see that on yeah. people's faces, you know, just really like, it validated me.
Yeah.
It really made me feel like, oh, I spent a long time on these songs. And like I told you, I spent every day writing and writing and trying yeah. to figure out. And like, it felt like it was for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
It felt, this is it.
Yeah.
So I keep wanting to do it again. I keep wanting to go, okay, I got that out. That's done. Let's write another record, you know?
Well, you can, I mean, you can do that. I mean, mm-hmm. I can imagine that the next one you'll do, would it be simpler on all levels?
Maybe.
Do you feel like next time
I do that?
I do
that, like,
yeah.
you know. Well, I've actually been thinking. I always start with these big general ideas, and then it gets, you know, changes right. and goes. I mean, you have to be open to that change to get, you know,
yeah,
to get where you want to go. But, I got a Parlor acoustic guitar.
Oh, nice!
For Christmas. And I really would like to write some cool tunes on that.
That's always neat when you get like a new thing and all of a sudden you're so inspired to yeah. write songs on it.
Yeah. I think that's important.
Yeah.
I've been taking violin lessons, but I've had to stop because I had a bunch of financial stuff happen. But I think I'm going to pick up on my lessons again this coming month.
Good. Good. When you write, some of that stuff while recording, or do you sit down at a specific instrument and write a song?
I usually sit down and write. Like when I did these songs for this record, I was getting up every morning and I would do, have you ever heard of Morning Pages from the Artist's
yes.
Way?
Yes.
I do my Morning Pages
yeah,
every
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Get up, do my Morning Pages, have my breakfast, have some tea, and sit down and write for a couple hours. I was doing that every day.
Wow, that's great.
It was
great,
the most amazing feeling ever.
And then what happened once you finished it, once you started working on the record, you got out of that space?
Once,
I wonder if we should probably always be in that. Like, Bob Schneider is really good at staying in that headspace yeah. all the time.
Yeah. Well, I had to get a job.
Right. That fucks up your time.
It fucked up everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And
there's a certain amount
of
time that you need as a writer to walk around and think about
yes.
stuff. It doesn't,
yes.
you don't just sit down. It's not like balancing your checkbook. You don't sit down and just fix it.
No.
You like, and then you kind of
yeah.
dream.
Yeah.
And then you float around in
and
your
you
mind.
Get, yeah. And you have yeah. to be okay with it not working out every day. You know, you have to be okay with coming and showing up and writing and going, this is crap.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be here tomorrow. So it's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
you that's kind of the peace of mind that that showing up every day gives you.
Yes. It gives you the ability to, it's also like when you're on tour, when you're playing every single day, mm-hmm. a bad show, it rolls right off of you.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm feeling, I've been only playing kind of one-off shows here
right.
and there, and I feel so out of the groove
yeah.
with those.
Because there's a groove you get into when
yes.
you're on tour, and that's what
yes.
you're doing. When you're doing that every night and you're traveling all day to get to a place to do that again,
mm-hmm.
like your body acclimates to where you're kind of tired all day, and then when it's time to
yeah.
play, you're like,
whoa, like,
oh,
bam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I always feel like it's the end of the world every day on tour. Like, oh, God, I'm never going to be able to. And then it's like 9. I'm like, hey, all right. So what's going
yeah,
on?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
It's interesting.
It is. It really is.
So you're doing these shows now. You've got a Continental Club Gallery show coming up on the 6th
mm-hmm.
of June.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the Mohawk on the 12th of June. Now, one of those is a songwriter round, right?
Or yes. No? The
yes.
Continental.
That's a great, that would be a great
gallery.
Room for you to play. The gallery.
I'm excited. Sila is actually put together the guests on that one, so it'll be really fun.
Who are the people?
Sila. It's Sila, me, Lee Barber.
I don't know.
Is that a real name? Did I just make that up? And William Harris Graham.
I love William.
Yeah, I know.
He's great. Do you jam with him at all?
I'd been doing a couple of years ago. I was doing a few things with him, but as I kind of got a job. don't have time to do anything.
I don't think it's bad to have a job.
No,
I really love
where I am right now. Right. I love having this job that I have. I've never actually liked a job like I like this job. So
yeah. And
it's really
something
great.
Also that you do.
Mm-hmm. So yes. There's something about being able to show up and feel like you're, here's this thing that I'm good at.
Yeah.
And that I get share to share it with
yeah.
you. And
it's
and
not like you're all of a sudden a paralegal right. or something. Not that that's bad, but if it's
no.
not your passion, that's
and
a
And I
drive.
Was doing, I actually had been working two jobs over the last 4 months. I was a barista as well. And I loved the drink. I like actually making drinks.
Me
I actually
too.
Like that. But all the other stuff, like basically working in a restaurant / kitchen, yeah. I did not. I'm not. That's not me. Sorry.
No, I like making the drinks too.
Yeah,
I used
I
to work in a.
I know.
Yeah.
It's
we
so
talked
much
about
fun.
That.
No.
Oh
no.
So
I didn't know you did that.
I did. There was something else I wanted to talk to you about. Photography. Do you?
Yes.
How do you do? Do you? I like if I wanted to say, hey, Stephanie, mm-hmm. will you take some photos of my band?
Mm-hmm.
Do you? Are you available for that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
For sure. I got my degree in photography.
Okay.
Well, I got my degree in studio art, specializing in photography.
I saw you wrote something about your photography professor.
Yes.
Recently.
He passed away last year. Where are we at? Yeah, last year. At the end of last year, I think.
Sorry about that. Were you close?
He
had a big impact?
Yeah, man. He really changed the way I make art, I think. When I first went to Southwest Texas, my first class was in the tech department, and that's where they for some reason they had divided up photography between the tech and the art department, and the tech department did the color photography, because with color photography to process you have to have all these machines, these kind of
all right, not just like a standard dark room.
You can't just go in a dark right. You can, but then once you have it, you've been in the dark room, you've got your paper, it has to go through this process.
Right.
That is, the chemicals don't last very long, so they have to be changed a lot. And it's actually like this big machine they had in there that they process the stuff with. So I think there's an easier way to go about it, but that's kind of how they did it. So that was my first class, was the tech class. And we did black and white there too, but man, it was almost like being in high school. It was very like, here's the teacher, and he's been there for years, and he's got his, like, teacher's pets, and they kind of do whatever they want, and you do your thing, and when you turn in your stuff, they're like, oh, cool, whatever. You know, it's not like, it wasn't an art class, you
right,
know?
Right.
And so I was kind of feeling down about it that first semester. I was like, oh, maybe I don't like this. Maybe this was not, like, this is a bad choice.
Yeah.
So when I did my first art class with my professor, Professor Weller, the first day, I was like, this is what I'm trying to do. He like went and he showed slides of people from his previous classes, people that had graduated, and they were just the most beautiful things. Just, it was just gorgeous.
That's
it
awesome like, too. And it's also attainable, because you're
yes.
like, oh, that person was just here.
Yes.
I can do that. It
oh
wasn't like
gosh.
He was showing you Annie Leibovitz or something.
Right. Yeah. No, it was beautiful. And just the way he talked about it and the way it was half technical, but it was half like
passionate.
Emotive and
yeah.
passionate. And yeah. yeah. And it just changed everything. And just, I just loved it. And he was also just a happy, like, he laughed all the time, you know. He was super accessible,
yeah.
you know. Nobody was scared to ask him anything,
right,
you know.
Right.
He would have little get-togethers at his house, and we'd go and talk about photography and, you know, do our thing.
That's
and
amazing.
He was incredible. And when I graduated, he asked me if he could show some of my slides
oh,
to incoming people.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was really great. He was
yeah.
amazing. And I saw it, the last time I saw him was at Half Price in San Marcos. And this was a few years ago. And I remember, this is what he told me, he said. And I had been thinking this too. It had just been occurring to me randomly. But he said, I feel sorry for people that don't have art in their life.
Yeah.
He's like, what do
I
you
do?
Do?
Yeah.
How do you live?
Yeah.
Like, how do you deal with life?
Yeah.
And I was just, and I had been having those thoughts kind of like, I'm so lucky to have this thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Or all these things that I do, you know.
Dude, I have a brother and sister, and like I got in my brother's car like a year ago or something when I was visiting in Miami, and he had one of my CDs in the middle, in his middle thing, and I was like, oh, so nice. I was like, Jeff, so cool. When I got in, you should put that in there, because I was coming in town. He's like, no, put it in there like whenever you send it to me. And I was like, that's awesome. It was like the only CD in your car. He's like, the only CDs I've ever had in my life are yours that you've given me. He like never buys music. And then I started talking to him, being like, does it, like, he's like, yeah, music can be on or off. It doesn't do anything to him.
Wow.
And my sister is kind of the same way. It's weird.
Does it make you think, though, maybe they haven't like heard like the right kind of music? I think that sometimes, like, maybe because, okay, no, here's, I mean, a good example. Like, people say, I hate reading. I just hate it. But you, in my thought is, you haven't read something you like to read, or something that is a subject that you are interested in.
Yeah.
Because when you find that, you cannot get enough of it.
Yeah.
You
know? Or like something really adventurous, like, you know, all that comes to mind is like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. But you could, I mean, you know, somebody would be like, I don't want to read. Like,
but you give them that. Exactly. You know? It's like finding the right.
There's crazy writing out there. It's not all, you know.
Exactly.
John LeClaire. That's the only person I could think of right now. So how much photography do you do now? And do you do film photography?
I do still. Yeah. When I have the money to do it.
Right.
Or when someone specifically says, I want you to use this camera. Yeah. I love film so much.
I got a Holga a few years ago, and it was real discouraging to use, because I go develop the film and it's like $40.
It's expensive.
Like for a contact sheet and a disc.
Yeah, don't do that.
I mean,
I just get, oh well, I get just the negatives because I have a scanner. And I scan the negatives for myself.
Right. Well, see, you're also a photographer.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, you do Polaroids too. Now that I saw, I mean, granted, it was Urban Outfitters, but I had a gig at ACL the other night.
Yeah, they have Polaroids and stuff.
They have Polaroid film, like, but 8 pictures is $25.
No. See, yeah, I actually have this old Polaroid camera called it's a Polaroid 600 SE. They call it a goose because the 600 and SE ends up looking like goose.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
But it's so heavy, but it's the peel apart kind. Yeah. So you have to order, it's like 10 sheets, 10 Polaroids, and it's about $10. So it's like $1 a Polaroid.
That's not bad at all.
But it's like the older, you know, like, and they've stopped making some of that film, but there's still that film available, you know. But I found the camera on
eBay,
and you kind of have to, there's no auto settings. You kind of have to know how to, you know, do it. But I love it so much. I should have brought it. I actually had a thought. I should have brought that.
I spend a lot of time taking a lot of Polaroids.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in the late 90s.
Do you still have them all?
Yeah, I have some over there in a pile. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love them. They're just stupid pictures, like my guitar and a guitar stand or something. But
I've been wanting to get a little one, like a little one at Urban Outfitters, and like just one I can carry around and stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's so freaking expensive.
So who's your photography? Let's go through like who's your favorite photographer? Like, who do you look up to?
Sally Mann.
Yeah. How would I know that name?
She actually has been doing some. She have like a interview recently on NPR. Yes. Oh my God, I wanted to hear that. I have to go look it up now. She had an interview on All Things. Wait, no.
Was fresh it fresh air. Air?
It was fresh air.
You know what? I think I heard it.
Did you
it.
Hear it? Yeah. She hasn't been around a lot since all the digital stuff. She was kind of a late 80s, 90s photographer, and she photographed her children, but they were always naked. And so at that time, that was like, half the people were like, you're shooting pornography.
Right,
and
right.
She's like, no, this is how we grow up. They lived in like the backwoods of like Virginia, you know, in the mountains and stuff.
Yeah.
And they didn't wear clothes. They ran around and, you know, they were wild. And they're just the most beautiful pictures. And once I saw her, I was like, oh, that's kind of where I want to go. Like, that's what I want, you know? And so she works in large format, like a big old, you know, you put the slide in and you get under the little curtain.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah. She works in large format. It's beautiful. The furthest I actually did take out, I rented out, because you could rent out those cameras from the school. And so I rented one and took some pictures of my mom and stuff. And I loved them so much. And I almost wanted to buy one. but man, there's some upkeep and it's a ordeal. Yeah. I don't even know how I would go about doing it because it's film and I'd have to have my own darkroom set up and, you know.
You know, my ex-wife is a photographer and director.
Yeah.
And you know her?
No.
Oh. No, she does like most of Patty's stuff.
Okay.
From like 2002 mm-hmm. on, she's
Oh,
done.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But she had a dark room. And I remember the transition, like the transition from film. I remember when I did that photo that's back there, I was on a label and we had, do you know Danny Clinch?
Yes, he's one of my favorites
as well. One of my favorite too. And we shot with him. And when they sent me the boxes of contact sheets, yeah. there was like, I think 250 contact sheets. Like, there's 250 rolls of
film. That's film, yeah.
And, like, the breakdown on her price on that was just so insane. And then literally, like, 2 years later, that expense was totally taken out.
Yeah. It's incredible.
It's insane.
It really is.
But she had to keep her own dark room at our house then. And I don't know if she had to, but she chose to. I mean, I imagine if I was a photographer. And I was doing stuff that was being printed and stuff, I would want to develop my own stuff myself.
Yeah. It's that is a whole nother like art. I remember when I was in school, they would say, well, when you work for a magazine or you work for a company that hires you out and stuff, like newspapers and stuff, they have people that do this. That have people that just do the darkroom work. Like you go out and you shoot and you just turn your film in and they do that stuff. You
They're
know?
Like the best.
Yeah. I loved doing both of them, you know, like, but so I remember some people in school liked shooting more, or some people liked the actual darkroom work more.
Right. You know, one medium though that hasn't changed, like music, mm-hmm. it changed quickly over the last 15 years. Also, like sort of the distribution, the medium that it's shot on, also with photography, but with art, that's still a canvas. There's still paint on it. It still takes a long time to do, and you get real dirty doing it.
Yeah. I love that. I've always done illustration and painting. My dad painted and did illustration, drew a lot when I was younger. And so that's just something I've always done. When I graduated high school, I got an offer to play my clarinet in college, but I was like, I'm kind of burnt out on music because I had been taking private lessons and I was just like,
it seems like a
in
theme.
It, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to try art. I haven't been able to do any kind of art, no, and I love it. So that's kind of why I ended up there. Of course, I bought a guitar too, so.
Yeah. how much time do you think you spend painting? Like, is your life artistically divided up into thirds, or is music two-thirds and the other visual ones are a third on their own?
Man, that's a good question.
One-sixth each.
Honestly, right now, I haven't been writing for music or anything. I've just been kind of doing shows and like kind of trying to
recharge.
Yeah, it feels that way. But I have been the last five, almost 6 years, I have been writing fiction. So
really?
Yeah.
And what
so we'll see what that
I like you're like
there.
You're like me, like you have all these different things that you do, but they're all like the least lucrative.
I know. Every time I tell someone that, they're like, man, you will never make any money.
Yeah,
I obviously don't care.
Yeah, I started working on a screenplay, and whenever I tell people, they're like, oh, you found another thing that doesn't pay? Like, that takes up tons of time?
Right. That's
so what
exactly
are you, it. What are you, you want to write short stories, novels?
Novels, man. I love the
What
long
kind of
haul.
Novels? Crazy?
Yeah.
Like where, what's your...
I wouldn't say science fiction because I always feel like I tend to write people stories still.
Yeah.
But I always like something to be a little off in the story. You know, something a little, there's a challenge to writing something kind of odd and like not real and making it feel like natural and normal, you know, like, I kind of like that.
How do you...
That's what I do mostly right now.
Really?
I really...
How far along are you on one novel? Are you
I finished
on...
one, and really? I started editing, and then I realized, man, I'm just not here anymore. Like, and not in a way where I threw it away. I just kind of put it away and said, this might be something for later. Started another one, finished that one, and I'm in the middle of editing that one right now.
Yourself, do you think about taking it to somebody
else? Oh, yeah, I would love to do that. I'd love to find an agent. I'd love to do all that stuff, you know. When I was in high school, I talked about, you know, like going to school for art and stuff. What I originally planned was to be a literature major. And I wrote a lot, and I love that. So I almost feel like I'm coming full circle. Like I'm doing all this stuff, you know.
Right.
I did all this, all these things. I did music. I did, you know, I'm doing all this stuff. And then part of me starts to kind of do this little, like, circle.
Right.
Like, oh.
Well, maybe it seems like also you've been preparing yourself to do a longer form storytelling rather than a one painting of, you know, a song. And
I love that. I love when I sit down to write, it really is like I am the vessel and I'm just being filled with the story. And all my job is to do is to tell what comes out, you know, is to write what comes out. And I love it because you feel like you kind of have an idea of what's going to happen. And then as you're writing these characters that you have just do whatever they want to do. And you're like, oh, I had no idea this person was going to be like this.
Yeah.
That stuff happens. And it's like the most otherworldly experience. I can't even explain it. It's pretty amazing.
When are you going to make these available for people to read?
When I am satisfied with what I have. But
that's
I love
exciting.
It.
Exciting.
It is. I love it so much. I love it like I like any of those moments, you know, like when I get lost in painting and you're just there and you don't want to leave and you're so tired because you've been there for hours, but you don't want to walk away from it. You know, when you write that song and you're like, I don't even know where that came from. Like that just happened. And it's like, already I can tell this is like going to be one of my really good songs, you know, that feeling like chasing that is... To me, that is writing all the time.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Totally. Let me ask you a question asking about something you touched on before about Patty and Lucinda. Mm-hmm. And do you feel like there's a shelf life for a woman in public society? Did you see that Amy Schumer thing?
No, I didn't. I remember I don't watch things or look.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There was Amy Schumer. It went on the internet. Amy Schumer, you know who she is, right? Mm-hmm. She's a comic. Mm-hmm. She's got a show. She's walking through the woods and she sees Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Tina Fey, and she was just in Boyhood actress, Patricia Arquette.
Okay.
They're all sitting at a picnic table and she's like, what are you guys doing? And they're celebrating Julia Louis-Dreyfus's last fuckable day.
Oh, okay.
Because in Hollywood, you have like a shelf life of fuckability.
Yeah.
And not to be so crass or whatever, but there's a certain amount of that to an artist's life, a performing artist. You know, you're a very beautiful woman.
Yeah.
So do you feel like, is that what you were talking about before? Like I'm, you know, no one wants to hear a 45-year-old lady?
No.
I mean, I'm 46 and I don't think that it's as harsh on dudes as it is on women.
Right.
By any means.
I used to feel that way in that I used to think, okay, by the time I'm like 30, I should be like, expecting like, that's when it'll be like, I'll be where I want to be. You know what I'm saying? And so when you hit 30, you're like, well, I'm not there yet, but you know, cool.
Right.
Now I'm 35 and I'm like, let me think about this. But I don't...
But you're like...
I don't feel like
Brandy or like... I don't know how Brandy is, but like you're beautiful women without a lot of effort. At least that I can see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you got all gussied up to come to this thing.
No, I didn't. Good for you. No, I did not.
I don't even know what this is called. That's how dumb I am. It's called a podcast.
No, I don't... I think at this age, I feel like I should have kind of, I should have the confidence it takes to be on a stage.
You do. I've seen you on stage.
You know, like, I feel like that's, once you're there, there's no shelf life. I feel like if you haven't kind of found that, you really need to work on finding that I don't know. Most people I've seen my age on stage, like, exude this kind of like, okay, I'm supposed to be here, you know, yeah. And I have something to say and I have things to show you, you know? I feel like if you have that, there's no time. There's no shelf life on anything, you know?
And I feel like we live in a society now where there isn't just one pop culture. You know, like, there's not going to be a moment when everybody in the entire United States is watching the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show anymore.
That's not going to happen.
Like,
ever again.
Everybody's just watching whatever they want to watch.
Yeah.
And seeing whatever they want to see and tuning into whatever they want to tune into. Mm-hmm. So you can find your audience and enough of an audience to make a living that loves Stephanie and Little Brave without the E channel in their mind. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We've definitely...
And there's people like us that don't subscribe to the E channel mentality that a lot of the world does, but then there's a lot of people that don't. We can find them. They're people that enjoy listening to people talk for a long time. Yeah. They enjoy, you know, an unedited, regular conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Non-sensationalized.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a great thing. I think... it's funny because I get to see the E channel subscription through my sisters because my sisters and my mom are into that.
Oh,
and so it's funny to go home and kind of be in that environment for a while watching the Kardashians and crap like that, you know, and just being like, why are you watching this? Like, they're just, it's, I don't know.
It's funny when that's your family. You're like, what? Yeah. What kind of mix up in DNA? Where did I come from?
Exactly. So and I have nieces and nephews, and I want to be like, oh, you guys just come hang out over here for a while.
Yeah.
Like, let's not get so submersed in that.
Yeah.
But
I feel like that's not something, because A, you look really young.
Thank you.
I would have never guessed that at all in a million years, and even being nice.
Thank you.
So I wouldn't worry about that. I don't think people should worry. It's such a bummer because... I feel like, I mean, I get caught up in it too sometimes, but it really doesn't matter. Mm-mm. I mean, you know, the Blues Traveler was at their most popular when that dude was so fat and he was wearing like a vest with a bunch of harmonicas in it and a hat and
his,
like, looked disheveled. That doesn't really matter all the time.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Is there anything that I need to cover before we exit? People can find your music, your art, and your photography at littlebravemusic.com.
Yep.
Tell me about patronism. Are you on the...
I am.
You are.
Yes.
And people can there go donate.
Yes. You can subscribe for as much as you want per month, and you can have everything for free, basically. My new release is already up there. You can go and download it. You can download all my old releases. I just posted a blog yesterday just specifically for that, you know, for patronism, and I try to stay updated there. I put a lot of the demos as I'm working on them. I throw them up there. You can download those and listen to see what's going on. I love it. Absolutely.
You believe, so listen, if you do subscribe and become a patron to Little Brave, and you'll get this download.
Yeah.
But I still suggest this is available at Waterloo.
No, I don't have anything at Waterloo yet.
You don't have anything?
No, you can order it offline.
Okay, so you can go to it, go to littlebravemusic.com, get this album, Mythology. I promise that when you get something like this, you'll want to listen to it. It's nice that someone took the time to, at a time when people aren't even doing artwork for a thing. You know what I mean? I don't even do that anymore. I put up a song on SoundCloud and took a picture of my thumb. And that's the artwork for that album. I mean, it's sad. I miss artwork. I always wonder, I don't talk to my ex-wife anymore, but I always wonder how she's doing with that because people don't care. And it gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah. It does. I've been really thinking about finding new ways to do it. You know, like, I mean, I love doing it for artists, you know. That's kind of my favorite people to photograph.
Yeah.
Artists. And
I noticed that on you.
Yeah. I love it. Love it so much. But it's tough, you know. How else can I do this is the question, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and you want to charge money for your services.
You should.
But you also
you know,
want it, it's hard. I want to shoot these people, and these right. people don't have a lot of money, you know, like,
so. You know, that's how I work with my, with, I mean, I don't do nearly as much as I did before, but I've produced artists, mm-hmm. and a lot of yeah. times, if I like them a lot, it doesn't yeah. matter what I'm making, and if I'm,
yeah.
you know, I did a couple of albums on the, I really need this job, and I can make myself get into this and create yeah. something good for those people. I don't feel good about that.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
promised myself I wouldn't do it anymore because mm-hmm. it's unfair to do to somebody else.
You're right.
Because I've been right. an artist and I've known when somebody was there for the money yeah. and it doesn't feel good because it's your art.
It is.
But I would like to go on record to say I would like to hire you to do some photos.
I would love
to. I'm always looking for somebody new, and I feel like nothing against anybody that is so great in this town. I would yeah, just like so to shoot with some new ones. People.
Yeah.
And I've asked people. There's nobody knows.
Yeah.
And the other day I was talking to Allie, and she said, you should ask Stephanie.
Yeah.
So I just asked you. And also, I'd like to get you to do a poster when I do a show again, because I love your artwork. I love your posters. They're gorgeous. Yeah. If you're a band out there, man, go to littlebravemusic.com and look yeah. at those posters. Like, they're really great. They're, yeah. It's amazing to have, like, a hand-drawn yes. poster. Like, bringing that back just feels good.
It does. It really does.
Putting some effort into the art, like you did with this packaging, it just feels good. When yeah. you open this, it feels good. And thank God it's a great album, too. Because if not, that's this would good. Be a real drag to have you on my show. But it is a remarkable album. It's thank gorgeous.
Thank you.
And you did a great job. People should get out there, go to littlebravemusic.com and get this album in its actual packaging. You know, listen to it on the iTunes or the Spotify if you yeah, have to.
It's on Spotify.
But you're going to want to see this physically. It comes in a DVD package, your beautiful art. Is there anything that I'm missing, Stephanie? Therefore, I just start crying. I'm sorry, I don't want to be like a kiss-ass guy on these shows, but I've always liked you. I like your vibe. I just love your creativity, and I love your music.
Thank you.
It's good.
Thank you. You're so good. Much. Well, I always come here and I think, why are we not best friends?
Because you hate me.
Not true.
I need to eat right too, so I would like to get in on this boyfriend thing.
We'll have to have you over. Come over.
Go. Yeah, I have a girlfriend. I'll bring her.
Oh, yes. That would be awesome. I'll bring her. He made me sour cream chicken enchiladas last night, homemade, with a avocado salsa on top. It was the most amazing thing
That's awesome.
I think I've ever... Oh, my God.
I have a web series cooking show with my friend, AJ.
Do you really?
Yeah. We make food.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's one. It's supposed to be up. We just made fish tacos the other night. It was great.
I want to hear
cooking
that.
Cooking and Drinking with AJ and
Johnny. Do you
it's
film
on YouTube,
it?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I want to see that.
We do it here.
That's awesome.
Like the saddest kitchen of all time.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, Johnny.
Talking to you so
me
much.
Too,
and,
me too, me too.
And everyone get out there, really buy the physical copy of this yes. album. All right.
When the moon comes to bring the tide inside, walls will keep it winking and dries.
All right, Little Brave, second time on the show. Songwriter, photographer, artist, Stephanie, she's fantastic. Don't forget, you can go see her this Saturday, June 6, 2015, at the Continental Club Gallery, or next Friday in Austin at June 12th at the Mohawk. Pick up her album, Mythology. You can find it at littlebravemusic.com. I really do highly recommend, buy the physical copy. When you do buy the physical copy, right on the Facebook page. Say, hey, look, man, I got this thing. I'm going to post a picture of it on there. You can see what it looks like and be like, damn, that is a nice album with a beautiful book. And the album itself is amazing. So congratulations, Stephanie. Everyone get out there and find out all you can about Little Brave at littlebravemusic.com. And while you're out there on the internet, do not forget that you can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? You can also follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I am at Johnny Gowdy. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And also, if you are on Stitcher, which streams podcasts, you stream your movies, you stream your music, why not stream your podcasts and all your favorite shows? Check out Stitcher. It's a great app. Stitcher.com. All right. Let's hear some more music from Little Brave. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. Don't forget, you can see her this Saturday if you are in Austin at the Continental Club Gallery on the 6th, June 6th, and then next Friday, June 12th, 2015, at the Mohawk. All right? Let's hear some more Little Brave. Let's get down.
My mind capitulates underneath, underneath you. Let's pretend, pretend the human contemplation of forever has no end. And living is a big hot mess. Yes, I am responsible. Yes, I am response. Yes, I can take my ass to work. Yeah, I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. And yes, I can take care of myself. Yeah, I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. All of this I can do. I don't need you, but I want you. Oh. Man, everybody wants you to bend over or be all by yourself. But what I really wanna say is doing this without you really fucking bores me. Yes, I can take my ass to work. Yeah, I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. And yes, I can take care of myself. Yeah, I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. All of this I can do. I don't need you, but I want you. Oh. Of a kind.